Now broadcasting the webcomic beacon.
Or bad with foreplay. Bad with endings, yeah. Too. So.
Foreplay is dumb.
Yes, and foreplay, that is why we are doing the webcomic beacon episode 23 today. And we are going to be talking about inking and superhero comics with Ben Carver of PointGuardian.com. Welcome, Ben.
Thank you.
And with me are my co-hosts, Tanya Higgins.
Hello, hello.
And Aaron Lewis.
Hello.
Ben, why don't you tell us a little bit about your webcomic?
All right, Point Guardian is a webcomic that's a superhero webcomic. A serious superhero webcomic at that. It's, if not the first, it is one of the first. I try not to claim the first because I'm not quite sure I can prove it. But at the same time, I'm confident enough to say one of the first because I really tried to find one before I started Point Guardian, and I couldn't.
A serious superhero comic?
Yes.
What does that mean? A serious superhero webcomic.
Let me give you an example. When I started Point Guardian over 4 years ago, I looked at the onlinecomics.com or net or whatever they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's their superhero listing. Way back when, there were only 20 listings, 18 of which had the final had the following description: "This is a parody of blank."
Yeah.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yep.
And now it's a million more.
The
of
serious,
them.
Serious superhero comics would be the, you know, like Batman and Superman, and where it's not poking fun of the genre. It is the genre.
Exactly. And, you know, that's, you know, my goals in making Point Guardian were several fold. I was thinking of doing a comic for years on the web, and I had the whole story of Point Guardian down. It was something I was planning on actually doing much later, after I sunk my teeth into something else. But the actual print industry was getting more darker and dire, that I felt this outrage to all these beloved characters that I grew up with were being so mishandled.
Yeah.
I decided that I would try to make my own thing. You know, there was no suitable alternative, so I made the alternative. And, well, when I started, I sucked really badly. But at least I got out there. At least I put something on the line. I said, hey, this is who I am. Say something, people. And, you know, that's the big thing. People have to get rid of their fear and just do it, you know.
Yeah.
I talk to a lot of starting artists and stuff, and they say, I always want to do this, but I'm afraid of this or I'm afraid of that. I say, just do it. Just do it. And, you know, that's actually a great word of advice my father always gave me when I always hum and hawed about doing something. He always told me, just do it, Ben. Just do it. So, well, Point Guardian is me just doing it. And look at me 4 years later. I haven't missed an update. I originally started with a 3-day buffer. Now I have a two-month buffer.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Congratulations on being farther ahead than we've ever been.
I think that's farther ahead than anyone ever.
Well, you know, the point is not me saying I'm better than people. I'm not better than people. I'm not better. The point is, I'm a mook that's able to do it. That means if you apply yourself, you should be able to do it. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to encourage you.
No, yeah, and you're absolutely correct. There's no point in... I've talked to a number of people who, you know, once I get a little bit better, or once I get this, or once I get that, I'll start it up. You know, just do it. You're going to get better with time anyway. You're gonna change the process, all of that. Just go.
Exactly. With Point Guardian especially. Point Guardian, I intended, from the start, to always be a moving exercise to help me not only draw better, but to write better. Because, you know, I had these great ideas. Well, ideas, I can't really say that they're great. But I had these ideas. And, you know, when I first started it, a lot of it was a little bit corny. partly because I didn't know the full aesthetics of writing, and part of it because I was trying to be so far different from the whole darkness of the print industry that I just went a little too far. And then, you know, I had to find this balance, and I'm getting closer. I wouldn't say, I wouldn't dare say that I found it yet, because once you admit you found perfection, then you just basically die the next day.
Yeah.
So
now you're done.
Yeah. And, well, like I said, you know, Point Guardian, I never intended to make a dime of money off of Point Guardian. I lose money every year doing it, but I don't see it as a loss. I see it as an enrichment to my artistic soul, which I enjoy a lot. And like I said, superhero webcomics, there are too few of them. And this is actually a very interesting thing. Can I mention another web publication about webcomics?
Or comics in general? Of course.
All right. There's this other one called BrokenFrontier.com. They actually earned my ear slightly because they posted an article at the beginning of May about how come there are no superhero webcomics. And instead of mentioning... It's not even not mentioning me. It's not mentioning Mind Mistress. Legacy Heroes. It's not mentioning all the other ones that are great. And it's that they mention stuff like Dominic Deegan.
What? That's not a superhero or anything.
I
know. They mentioned it because they read superhero comics in the comic. And this guy's whole article is about how come he can't find any superhero webcomics. And then in the article he admits he only went as far as the top 10 of the top webcomics website.
Oh yeah, that's really gonna. That's really in depth. Ooh.
And then he got a little bit better because his next review is of Green Avenger.
Ah. Oh, okay.
But you know, the odd thing is Green Avenger won the Superhero Webcomics Award of 2006. And it hasn't updated since 2006.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I was watching that, and then it just kind of stopped.
Yeah, and you know that's another thing. You know, people lose steam, but you know, you can't just abandon it. You can't just abandon it. You know, the whole thing's just cut off and died, and you know. You know, this BrokenFrontier.com, I'm looking over their articles right now, and, you know, I'm still amazed that, you know, they're finding all these other comics, but they aren't finding the good ones yet.
Have you spoken up?
Yeah, I am trying to, because I have registered for their forum last week, and they still haven't approved me. They have to have some admin approve every application to their forum. And
yeah.
There's no mention of Mind Mistress. That's what really gets me, because everyone who at least delves into the superhero realm of the webcomic world talks about Mind Mistress.
That's weird. I never even heard of Mind Mistress until the Crossover Wars.
Well, Mind Mistress is big because Al Schroeder, I believe that's his name,
yeah,
of Mind Mistress, he actually was in the print industry.
Oh. I did not know that. I did not know that.
Okay, well, see, that's the things that you don't know. And, you know, this BrokenFrontier.com, it doesn't do just web. It also talks about print and film. And, you know, you think that these people who are supposed to be, like, you know, this media source about everything comics would talk about Mind Mistress.
Yeah.
But there's this guy who's writing articles about web comics and superhero web comics. He's like, duh, I can't find any.
Jeez. Oh, but maybe there's a better site than this one.
Does this mean we're going to get an email from this guy talking about our show now?
Well, I mentioned Mind Mist. I mentioned this BrokenFrontier.com only because of something amazing that happened 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
2 weeks ago, I was going through my list of people who have hotlinked me off the Comic Genesis stats page.
Okay.
And I found this link to this blog called MindLeak, owned by a guy named Daniel Cole.
Uh-huh.
He wrote this whole blog article about how why my comic is great.
Awesome.
And I found out through digging that Dan Cole is also an article writer of BrokenFrontier.com. He's not the one that's writing the articles about the superhero webcomic, obviously.
Right.
But, you know, that's how I found BrokenFrontier.com, and, you know, that's just interesting. I was wondering, you know, if these staffers talk to each other or not.
No.
Because probably not.
All right, and like I said, you just have to look under... Just do a Google search for Mind Leak and Comics Made with Love, and you'll find the article that Dan Cole wrote about my comic. I sent him a thank you email. Finally, was able to find his email address, and I said, you know, this has really made my day. Thank you. Thank you.
It's cool.
It's pretty rare to hear nice things about your comic, huh?
It's pretty rare to hear anything about my comic.
But nice things are an extra bonus.
Yep.
Well, part of the problem is I'm so busy working on my comic that I don't go out and market my comic. I'm worried too much about the product than of the merchandising, so to speak.
Right.
Because what's the point of getting banner ads and logo and link exchanges and do all these negotiations for stuff if you update rarely?
Yeah. Mark of the Thinking Ape Blues actually outsourced. He got himself an intern to do all that stuff for him so that he could concentrate on the art. So, yeah.
That's a good idea.
Others feel your pain. Yeah, and he got it cheap, too. It's apparently like a few prints here and there. And, you know, so pay him off with drawings.
I wonder if we could set up, like, a little business where we just outsource ourselves to do all the grunt work. Oh, wait, we'd give up our webcomics, too, that way. No, but I'm pretty sure there could be some money in that. Just have, you know, some of us sad nerds are just, like, online all the time and just trolling anyway. Hey, why not?
You know, I couldn't pay a lot, but I'd be willing to pay somebody for it. Yeah.
I'll do it.
Business deal just made.
All I gotta do, Tanya, all I gotta do is just switch my banner to your banner.
And then I win.
I know.
Jeez.
Even if you gave me like 1 cent a post, I'd still be happy.
But yeah, it's one thing I always say to people who start webcomics or do whatever with webcomics is, you know, if you come into this with the expectation of making money, you're going to be sorely disappointed really quickly, you know?
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. You'll feel that pain in your wallet, too. I know I do.
If you're lucky, in 4 years, you'll break even.
Oh,
yeah.
No, never. It goes
never.
Right back into advertising and is lost. So you've been working on Point Guardian for 4 years, you say?
Over 4 years, yes.
Over 4 years. And what has been the formula for creating? I mean, you've obviously had inspiration from a print until you felt betrayed by them. So, and in print, there's, you know, definitely lots and lots of, ink work and paint work involved in that. And I assume that you started with the ink the page and scan it, right?
Yeah, well, when I started way back when, my first pages were incredibly crude. They were drawn on copy paper. And I wouldn't really call them ink as much as I drew over my pencils with a ballpoint pen.
That's still inking.
No,
yeah,
it isn't.
It's still technically ink.
It's
no, it isn't. Anyways.
All right, fine.
Anyways, this was way back when I was in... when I was in college, you know, and I had a part-time job working in a pecan store that sold pecans and other assorted nuts, cashews, what have you.
Okay,
said pecans.
I was like, a con store?
Pecans.
They have those? No, pecans,
yeah, I know.
And nuts.
Anyways. I worked there every Saturday, and Saturday was dead slow. I was lucky to get 3 customers a day. So I was able to go in the back room and start to draw. And that's how I was able to build up my additional 3-page buffer.
Nice.
And, you know, I felt really happy about that. And then at night class, I was always able to finish my assignment, so I drew a little bit more there. And I just drew every day. And I still draw every day. My process back then was very crude. I tried many different things. A lot of things I abandoned as soon as I attempted. I even remember once, in my first week, I had this great idea. At least I thought it was a great idea. It was so stupid, though, after I came up with it. It was, I thought to myself, hey, why don't I come up with five different page templates, five different panel layouts, and always just alternate between those five panel layouts?
You know, for a series
of comments. That did not last long at all.
Yeah.
And then,
how long did you work with that before you gave up on it?
A week.
Yeah.
Because it was so confining.
Yeah.
And then
it ruins your pacing.
And then around August 2004, I came across this miraculous change. I switched from the ballpoint pen. I threw the ballpoint pen out.
Mm-hmm.
And I used more than just ballpoint pens about that time. I was using engineering pens that came in different weights of 0.05, 0.03, and 0.01.
Mm-hmm.
Really fine points, but I really couldn't get the line control I wanted.
And, yeah.
I'm going to ask my mentor to forgive me because, you know, he didn't really like me to drop his name much, but I had a mentor for years.
Mm-hmm.
But he really only helped me after I started actually doing it. And my mentor was an old comic book inker back in the 70s.
Okay.
His name was Wayne Howard. You can find his article on Wikipedia. He was really well known for doing horror comics in Charlton Comics, but he loved superhero comics. He also got to do several ink works. In fact, if you're familiar with the print industry, he got to ink Gil Kane's Spider-Man at least twice.
Yeah. Huh.
And he was actually an apprentice of Wallace Wood, who, by most comic historians, was considered one of the best inkers in the industry.
Awesome.
And Wayne taught me. The first thing he taught me was to use a brush to ink. He himself used the Winsor Newton Series 7 size 2 brush. Wally Wood himself used those size 3. I used the size 1 or 0 depending on my mood.
That's...
Winsor Newton brushes are extremely expensive too, so I actually worked up to the Winsor Newton. I was first using just a Sable brush until I was confident I wasn't going to ruin the Winsor Newton. And I also switched away to Bristol board, you know, because board
is great. It accepts ink so much better.
Yeah, Bristol board is great. He preferred a vellum. But I like smooth for my work.
Yeah, I have issues with it catching the ink.
Yeah.
But the smooth Bristol board works really well. Do you use India ink? Do you have any? I know there are all kinds of inking preferences.
I use India ink, but Wayne also gave me this great tip for India ink to make it stretch really long because comic book artists, at least back in the 70s, weren't known for making a lot of bank.
Yeah.
To really stretch India ink's life, what you do is you mix ammonia with it.
Really?
Yeah, ammonia, not water. Water.
Well, yeah, water will make it brown.
Ammonia, just a little bit of ammonia, shake it up, and I can stretch it up to last four times as long.
Wow.
Well,
that is a good tip because it's not cheap. I mean, it's not horribly expensive, but it's not cheap. So
Ammonia.
Ammonia
is your friend. Because you get
When used properly, kids.
Don't clean up any spills with bleach. Because then you die.
And by the way, a huge jug of ammonia is only like $1.15, so.
Yeah, it's really cheap.
So yeah, just mix a little bit of ammonia in your inkwell, shake it up and you're good to go.
Excellent.
Okay, so...
Excuse me.
Okay. Well, a lot of things I had to learn on my own because Wayne lived many miles away from me. So a lot of things I had to like ink something and then show him. And then he gave me advice, say it's specific things or said something a little bit more vague like, you have to pick up Hogarth's book.
Was it, so how did you specifically look for a mentor? Is it just, you know, an acquaintance?
No, I found them completely by surprise. I'm a fan of certain older computer games, and it was actually on a computer game chat room. And see, I was just talking about Batman one day, and he mentioned how he used to like, you know, he used to read the Bob Kane Batman issues.
Yeah.
And then I started talking about this and that, and then, you know, we moved on to Spider-Man, and then he said, did I ever tell you about the time I met Steve Ditko?
Oh, jeez.
There's a conversation starter.
I'm like, wait, you met this Steve Ditko? He said, yeah. And then that's when I found out he's this guy that, you know, is actually well-known and renowned in the industry.
Yeah.
And the thing to keep in mind is, you know, I'm talking about the darkness that I just walked away from, the, you know, that pushed me to Starpoint Guardian.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, he quit in 1980 because he was seeing the beginning of the darkness in the 80s, and he didn't like it either.
Right.
He quit the industry. He didn't. He wasn't hurting for work. People, you know, the thing to remember is there were articles written where people were trying to start a reunion or like a 20 years later special using Charlton characters and stuff, and they approach him and say, do you want in on this? And he says no.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he walked away from the industry.
I know that a lot of people were really upset by the way it turned and, you know, the direction that it started taking. I know that hurt a lot of the older people in the industry. So, yeah.
I really have no idea the context you guys are talking about because I've never been in. I never had the opportunity to get into print trade comic books. But from I'm gonna guess, is this when the breakdown of the quote unquote comic book code or whatever it was, where it was highly regulated, and it became not regulated, and therefore people started going in all these different directions, especially to the extreme dark? Or is this just I'm totally off?
Well, it's partly that, but in 1980, you got to remember this is around the time that Frank Miller started doing his stuff. And by the way, Wayne actually did meet Frank Miller at least once. Yeah. He described him as a strange, quiet fellow.
Yes.
He didn't say anything nice about Neil Adams. By the way, he did not care for the man.
It was also a time when a lot of the. You know, Marvel and DC still had the code running, but there were a lot of other comics that were coming into play that did not. And I think Marvel and DC started feeling, you know, the pressure from that a little bit. And, you know, that's when you started seeing superheroes going insane and dying. And, you know, it was still technically following the code. The bad guys still got caught and they, you know, still never swore. Yeah, I think the mood of the public changed and the comics, you know, started following suit. Rather than being a higher ground that people could look forward to, it became more a reflection of society.
I remember there reached a really weird point in superhero comics where instead of the X-Men walking around doing stuff, I remember like an episode where it was like Psylocke was fighting Shadow King in her mind for like a whole episode,
yeah.
And nothing was happening except dialogue for a whole episode.
Yeah,
and
another thing to keep in mind is you know the industry changes by a whim, and you know this is my view in the comic book industry because I grew up on comic books in the 90s, and I sort of feel sad that Wayne wasn't able to stick around and see what came up in the 90s. Fez is just telling me we need to go to break in a second. I'm just going to finish up my thought here.
You weren't supposed to tell everybody. Finish your thought.
I am breaking the fourth wall. You can't stop me. Anyways, the 60s and 70s had you know, this great innocence and heroics, but at the same time, it's just, it was too it was too silly, too camp.
Yeah, right.
And the 80s had too much darkness for the sake of darkness.
Yes.
Too much realism. But there was a thin sliver of comics in the 90s. This thin sliver of years.
Yeah.
With the greats at work. Dan Jurgen, Carl Kessel, Chuck Dixon before he went crazy.
Yeah?
You know, yeah. Where it had this... Where it had the heroics. Where it had, you know, the good guys win. The good guys are pure. But it had just enough of that realism that made that win a little bit stronger.
Yeah, it made it believable. Yeah.
And that's part of why I love... That's part of what I'm trying to recapture with Point Guardian. Okay? You can go to break now.
Okay. All right, we're going to
take Aaron, Incredibles is incredible, so...
Yeah, I love that too. So anyway, we got to take a quick break. See you on the other side.
The Webcomic Beacon is an affiliate of The Geek Media. The Geek Media has a number of geek-related podcasts, blogs, and videos for you to enjoy. Check out thegeekmedia.com. Have news, milestones, questions, or comments? Send your audio clips or email to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
And we're back. In case you are coming into the show just now, like if for some reason you skipped the MP3 to the middle, we are with Ben Carver of PointGuardian.com. We are talking about inking and superhero comics.
Hello, hello.
And we also have the chat running up in TalkShoe, which everyone can go to webcomicbeacon.com/live to go to quickly go to the site. We also post on our site upcoming episodes when we are going to be doing the recording and live broadcasting, so everyone else can get in on that. And right now I'm just going to read something from the chat, and later that I'm going to read an email. We have Ryan Dow in our chat, and he's saying SugaryCereals.com sometimes has some nice superhero stuff.
Yep.
And we've had Jersey from SugaryCereals.com before on the show, and it's tends to be more like a Saturday morning cartoon type of style, not in like dark serious or whatever, but yeah, that has a good variety. It's not so much parody, but it's more like, you know, Saturday morning cartoon superhero type of stuff.
Lighthearted.
Yeah.
Like what?
Lighthearted.
Yeah, lighthearted.
Like superheroes.
Well, you know, I don't like it being too lighthearted, depending on the answer to the message, because there's such a thing as talking too far down to the audience.
Mm. Well, that's true.
It's like, you know, you mentioned up Saturday morning cartoons, and you don't want to get me started there. Let me just say that because I feel the comic industry and the animation industry are linked, and there are so many superhero-based cartoons that I hate.
Yeah. Earthworm Jim.
I hate.
I loved Earthworm Jim.
Earthworm Jim.
I actually love Earthworm Jim because it's funny, but. But let me put it in perspective. I once went on a 90-minute rant on my own podcast about why the Craft Man sucks.
Wait, was Earthworm Jim a comic first?
No, it was a video game.
It was a video game first. Okay.
It was a video game before it was a cartoon. Oh,
A video game before it was a cartoon. I was wondering why you were bringing it up. I thought it was a comic book first. So
I couldn't remember which one it was first. I know I just loved that video game.
Okay. But like I said, you know the Saturday morning cartoon is dead. It's dead.
Yeah. Yeah, there's cartoons all over the clock, so yeah, I can see that.
No. It's been dead since 97 or so, ever since anime started getting imported.
It's not even that. It's just that the stuff that we're making here just started sucking really bad.
It depends. I don't know.
That's another topic.
That's an entirely different topic. But
It is. Let's move back on to comics before you get me started. Because
we're
you
supposed
get me started,
to talk about inking.
Talk about inking.
I want to bring up an email that's related to this because we don't get too many emails. I'm going to go... Who is this? We had him on the somewhere before. This Ed of meiosis.comicgenesis.com writes, and this is going to be a little bit wild. He has some advice about inking, and I'm just going to read it as he says it here. One, use a medium that you're comfortable with. In my opinion, it's not a bad thing to actually ink with pens or to ink with computer software. I've seen good art in Braille and crap art with Photoshop lines. It's all about working with something that is easy to use and you don't mind using day in, day out.
Right.
Two, know where to improve. Skill levels aside, I also feel that there comes a time when you reach a dead end with your technique. Either your pen smudged too much, or your pencils are too difficult to erase, or the Wacom pad is dusty and broken down, whatever. If you want to improve, you need better tools. I don't believe in buying the best that money can buy, but the best that still works comfortably. No need to buy Parker pens or A2 Wacom tabs.
Mm-hmm.
Three, practice makes profit. Maybe not financially, but being comfortable and confident in the ability to draw lines is a must-do. And finally, four, try to have fun inking. It is long and tedious and often boring thing to do, and I'm not a master of it by a long, long shot, he says. So alcohol works, as does listening to the webcomic Beacon. Oh, okay, plug, he says. But it helps to be in a mood to actually aid the creative process rather than becoming a chore. I totally agree with that last line. Any comments on this guy's email?
Several. I can sort of agree with some of the things, but you know, I just have to say, when it comes to inking, I've never seen a pen have as much line control as a brush.
Yeah.
I've never seen a pen have as much line control as a brush. I have seen tablets do the same, but I'm not willing to put that much down. Plus, you know. In the honor of my mentor, who sadly died last December,
mm-hmm.
I'm always going to stick with a brush because it's a dying art. More and more people are moving away from it, and I'm just going to try to keep it alive as much as I can. Three, you have to draw every day. It's I remember years ago I came up to him and said, "What do you do if you just don't have the knack that day?" He says, draw anyways. He says that that's what Wally Wood called a no-talent day. You draw anyways.
Yeah.
It might not be great, but just imagine if you get your no-talent days looking good, how much your talent days look.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
And another thing to keep in mind is, you know, my update schedule is... It happened mainly because I asked him one day, how many pages can you draw in a month?
Mm-hmm.
His answer to me was startling. He says, pencils and ink, one page a day is what he said.
Hmm.
One page a day.
Wow.
That's what was expected of him as a professional.
If you don't have a job, right?
Yeah, if that is your job. It's,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, good.
I want it to be my job.
Yeah,
and the way that you make it your job is you treat it like a job.
Yeah.
And another example is, you know, I showed him long ago Megatokyo.
Right.
And he said to me, if this is the quality that was expected of me for a comic, I could draw 4 pages a day.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So that hammered in a lot of things for me. One, yeah. Always draw. Two, don't make any excuses. Three, if people make excuses and they're supposed to be making money off of it, don't respect them.
Right.
Because, you know, they don't respect the medium. Why should I respect them as a professional if they don't respect the medium that they're working in?
Yeah.
Right.
Because I have tremendous respect for the medium. Tremendous.
Yeah.
Is there a four?
No, that's about it.
Oh, okay.
So you have any other questions about inking I can talk about? It's
Actually, I have an odd question. It's popped up lately. A lot of people have been complaining, probably with the change in weather, and we're coming up on con season. We're seeing a lot of repetitive motion injuries, and I know inking for me is my that's where I have my biggest problem. So
yeah, that dulled my hand.
Yeah, I get cramps in my hands, and I end up with tennis elbow. Do you have any tips for lessening fatigue and issues with inking?
Actually, I do have a couple. It's another great lesson Wayne gave me was that you use your whole shoulder and elbow to do most of the motion.
Right.
When you get down to the small lines, then you use your wrist. But for the major lines, you use your whole arm and body. You know, it's an amazing thing. You got to use the whole body.
Okay. Body. Yeah.
And it's
do you
a
get
great
more
thing.
Control that way when once you got your practice down? Do you get more control too, or
you get more control? Yeah, practice creates more control. Definitely.
No, I'm just wondering, doing the whole arm instead of the
At first, it looks like crap.
That's the first time I've heard somebody be honest about that. Yeah, at first it looks.
I'm being totally honest. At first it looks like crap, and you'll be like, "Why am I doing it this way?" If I can get a little pain and make it look like I want it to.
Right.
You know, you got to train your body, you got to train your mind. What you create might not be exactly what you want, but it's another thing. If you spend so much time working on an update and you don't make the update, then you know, there has to be a certain point where you're satisfied enough. Which goes into another ear I have about comics. It's when I'm not web comics, especially that I'm not completely innocent of myself, it's when people go back and redo their archives.
Oh, yeah. Go back and fix the things that they didn't like.
Not even just fixing, but completely overhauling. Sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, I'm semi-guilty of this, but I redid the first 3 issues of Point Guardian, mainly so I could create a graphic novel, because I had several friends ask me to create a graphic novel. I did this mainly so I got something that I would actually want to send to a printer.
Did you restart it, or did you just touch up the existing?
I rewrote the dialogue, used the same basic story, and redrew.
Oh, so it's not a restart, it's just a complete re... Okay, I got you.
It's mostly re-art, and then, you know, people who look too... who always look back will never move forward. A great example of this is George Lucas.
Oh. He's the poster child. Every time this topic comes up, he's the poster child, I swear.
Yeah. You know, there has to be a point when you're satisfied and you move on.
Right.
You know, so what if the lightsabers aren't the right color in this shot? You know, just move on.
We accepted it. Keep going.
Our suspension of disbelief did not break. We witnessed our empire, didn't we?
That's right. That's good advice. That, you know, your fans all accepted it the first time, and you know, you should. And not only that, but I think it helps new people. I know that when I'm feeling particularly crappy about what I'm putting out, it helps me a lot to go back to some of the comics I read and go back to those first couple of episodes and go, they suck too. And then you realize, okay, it took them 5-6 years, but they really have it down now. And I know that in another 4-6 years, I'll have it down now too. You know, and so that's, yeah, you go back and you erase that, you take away all our hope.
Well, you take away all your suffering. You know, all the suffering that you went through for your comic, the blood, the sweat, the tears, the love.
The love.
I'm serious.
No, you're right. You're right.
It's, you know, as some of you may know, I show up on another show with Erica of a webcomic called Nexer. And one of his big projects is having his hired artist, Studio Boom, redraw his entire archive.
Right.
And, I've gone round and round with Eric about this, and you know, Eric's the kind of guy that once he makes up his mind, you know, he does it. And Eric's one of those lucky fellows who, as I've said before, if you think you're making money off of webcomics, you're delusional. Eric's problem is the world shares is a delusion, as I always say. it doesn't hurt that he mainly sells cheesecake, but.
Well, yeah.
Cheesecake.
Hey, it sells. Don't knock
cheesecake. Pornography, and don't forget the pornography.
Don't knock porn.
Some of it can be knocked.
It fed me for much of my young life. Just remember that.
Okay.
I didn't mean that the way that sounded.
Anyways, a webcomic on its face is not a commercial enterprise. A webcomic on its face is a creative expression. It's like when you talk about theoretical dollars made off of a webcomic, it's like
theoretical dollars.
Yes. I am quoting South Park now. The internet is a great place for creative people to share their ideas, but it is not yet an economically feasible place for distribution. Yes. I am quoting South Park now.
How true that is.
Yes.
I was about to say, you're starting to sound like a little bit.
Who?
Uh-oh.
Brett Hanley, he does commentary once in a while for our show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
No,
he hasn't been submitting anything for a while.
Brett, what are you doing?
He doesn't listen to the show. I don't know. We'll find out. We won't tell him about this and see. If he comes back at
but
me.
A great thing about inking is, see, my inking style is a strange one. It's, you know, like I said, I was taught by Wayne Howard, who himself was a student of Wally Wood, who was the inking legend of the American comic book world.
Yeah.
But my work is mostly black and white. And I am half Asian, and I am a big fan of the Asian art comic art style.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm also a big fan of the work of Bruce Timm and Jack Kirby, and a lot of this also leaks into my own influence.
Yeah.
So in the end, you get something that's sort of Asian, sort of American. That's
good though.
Asian.
Melting pot.
No, it's good. It's that kind of a fusion is a good thing, and that's what pushes art forward, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's not a carbon copy of someone else's style, and it's, you know, little bits of influence.
More individualized.
Well, I gotta be freaking honest with you guys. It's when I first started, way back when, if you could ever find the original drawings again, wherever they may be. Buried under a rock or wherever.
Wait a minute. I think I can find it. Go ahead.
My way, way original drawings. That was way back when I was trying to imitate Bruce Timm.
Uh-huh.
And I fully admit this.
At least you're admitting it. That's half the battle.
Of course. You know, even people back then, they asked me, you know. I say, no, I love Bruce Timm's works that much, you know? It's just...
Yeah.
But, you know, I started seeing other things I like. Other little trinkets and tidbits in other people's styles. Like, hey, this person draws the nose bridges incredibly interestingly. How about I throw in some of that? oh, Todd Nock does ears like this. That's interesting. Yeah. And, you know, all these other things. And then it started growing more and more and more. And it's like Tom Grummet, he does thighs this way.
Yeah.
You know?
And well, Jack before Kirby, long, the way Jack, at it.
Yeah, Jack Kirby, the way he does hands is awesome. It's like, and then bit by bit, you know, I just started becoming something bigger, you know.
Yeah.
It just grew more and more and more. And, you know, what other webcomic is out there can you find that has use of the Kirby cackle?
I wish I could laugh along, but I have no idea what that is.
The Kirby cackle.
So you could probably Google Kirby cackle.
The Kirby cackle is an art technique that Jack Kirby created for illustrating energy,
right,
or cosmic power or whatever. It's basically a lot of circles intersecting with each other, creating negative space in each other. That looks freaking awesome, man.
Trying to find an example. Yeah, I'll find it later.
I'm going to send you a link.
Okay.
Actually, it's also called Kirby Dots.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yes, so there's a good article about it on Tomorrows, which is the definitive Jack Kirby site, by the way.
Ah, with a K.
Ah, yes, with a K.
Yes.
Huh?
But yeah, that's another thing. I even asked Wayne once about the Kirby cackle, and he says, and I remember the story that Wayne told me about that Jack Kirby, he was very fortunate to know the king himself.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about the first time he met Jack Kirby. It was when he just got out of high school. He called Jack Kirby up. He found his number. This was after he worked for Will Eisner for the summer, which is also great. You know, Will Eisner, the spirit, you know.
Yeah.
Anyways, it was his first time in New York, and he got lost. So he called Kirby on the phone, and Kirby sent a taxi there, paid the taxi for him, and they got to chat.
Nice. Wow.
Well, that's the thing, you know, people, you know, Jack Kirby, Will Eisner, those people back then, they were class acts.
Yeah.
You hardly see that anymore.
Yeah.
They're out there.
Rare.
You know,
I'm horribly optimistic about people.
You know, that's part of the thing that I want to do as well. I want to be the class act. I want to be the person that encourages the young people.
Yeah, that's a good goal.
Yeah, I like that.
Aww.
And so, what do you think of the Kirby cackle now that you got to see it, Fez?
Yep, I see it, and I know exactly what you're talking about now. When you said cackle, I was thinking of a maniacal laugh, like a cackle. No, I see it. Yeah, I've totally seen that before. Now I know what you're talking. Now that I know what name is attributed to it, so
yes,
yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Yes, and let's talk more about other superhero webcomics. It's like I said, there is the ever famous Mind Mistress,
right,
which I enjoy. And, you know, it's really hard to find other good superhero webcomics because they either stop updating.
They die, yeah.
Or they're not that good.
Yeah.
Well, and I think the reason why you're going to get the not that good part is I think a lot of people are aiming for DC or whatever when they do them. Like, I've seen high-end superhero webcomics, and they are so full of themselves.
Like, what do you want?
They either look similar to mine and Tanya's comics and Fez's comics, or they look like DC and Marvel, and they're like, I'm going to get picked up any day. My ads cost $50 an hour to get your banner on here. Aww. And it's like,
well, that reminds me of another thing. There was a fan-made webcomic, based off of Batman the Animated Series that was just horrible. These fans, they had a committee of 7 writers, and they could only muster up like a 5-page story every 3 months.
Nice.
What was really unbelievable is they had a whole story that was a ripoff, a blatant ripoff of a story that Chuck Dixon wrote for Nightwing. And I called them on it, and they acted like they never read it before, even though they stole it. They stole the exact same story.
Wow.
It's the story I'm talking about is you're a Nightwing fan, right?
You know, vaguely. Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a long time.
Chuck Dixon wrote many years ago a Nightwing comic. It was actually Nightwing Secret Origins and the Files, back when DC used to release those. It was a story where Nightwing got conked in the back of the head.
Right.
Had this dream / delusion where the ghost of Jason Todd gave him a narrative of his life.
Okay. Yeah, I missed that one.
Yes. Anyways, this Batman fan webcomic, which called itself Dark Knight Adventures, had a story where Nightwing got conked in the back of the head and had a delusion where the ghost of Robin narrated his life.
Nice. You know, that's not a copy at all. Wow. That's pretty good.
No, I need to have that in my comic, except it's going to be like Link from Legend of Zelda narrating it.
And I even said to them, did Chuck Dixon sue you guys yet?
And nice.
They started saying that I was jealous and this and that. I'm like, look, guys, it takes 7 of you guys 3 months to write 5 pages.
You know, I know how they feel. We get stuff stolen from us all the time. I'm so serious.
What?
And by the way, just not to toot my own horn, but my archive size right now, another thing to worry about is, do you think an archive that's too large would scare away a new reader?
If not broken down, yes.
Yeah, if it's one continuous story, it tends to. If it's chapters, then not necessarily.
Yeah.
Well, my webcomic is divided in issues.
Okay.
Each month is an issue.
I think that'd be fine.
The first day of the month is the cover, and the issue ends at the last day of the month.
Nice.
And that's what I do, and right now my archive is about 1,350 pages long.
Holy crap. Wow. You know, I know you said more than 4 years, and I could have done the math, but hearing it like that, that's quite a little career there.
That's crazy.
Should have a
milestone.
To put it in perspective, it's my archive is 1,350 pages right now, right?
Right, yeah.
It's last time I checked, and I only been doing this for 4 years.
Right.
Megatokyo has been around for 8 years. Their archive is barely 1,050 something.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're really pumping it out.
Well, excellent.
Part of it was just, you know, it's just my mentor really molded me with his words. You know, he said one page a day, no excuses. He said he regaled me back in stories about when he was still working for Charlton. He brought his work to his in-laws' home for Thanksgiving and worked there on the coffee table.
Wow.
It's one page a day. He wouldn't allow himself any less. Why should I?
Yeah.
I'm not saying everybody should do that. I'm totally not saying that, by the way.
Well, but at the very least, you should set yourself a goal like that. I think that if you have, the undeniable, I must do this much, be it a day or a week or a month, I think that really helps to keep you on track, and you're not going to be so likely to let it slide until Saturday and then find yourself on Monday with nothing. So.
And another thing to keep in mind is this, at least for me psychologically, mm-hmm. having a buffer makes making the next page that much easier.
Yeah.
Totally.
You're not going to have any arguments with that.
It's like I get home from work, I eat dinner, I get home around 5:20, I eat dinner, and then around 6 I finish, I clean up, and I'm like, okay, I'm looking at my page. By the way, this is how it works. Sunday night around 6 o'clock, I get all the guides drawn on my pages, and then I do rough sketches of what I want my panel layouts to be, and then I draw my gutters.
Right.
And then I do that. I put my pages aside. Sunday night, I go to bed. Monday, I go to work. After work, I come home. I come home around 5:20. I eat dinner. Right. And then 6 o'clock, I sit down at my computer, get out the first page of the week. I clean up the pencils, finish out the pencils. By then, it's like 7 o'clock, 7:30. I get out my inkwell, I get out my brush, start inking. 8:30, 9 o'clock, I'm done inking. I wait an hour. I scan it in. By 10 o'clock, I'm done. And then I go play City of Heroes or right now my brand new Nintendo Wii for a little bit, and then I go to bed.
Sweet.
You don't have cats then, do you? Because if you have cats, somewhere in there would have been, I get out the inkwell, the cat knocks it over. The cat knocks it on my page. None of that.
And then the cat is in the oven, and we're going to have to close off this second awesome. Section of the show.
Good job.
Any parting words, Ben?
www.pointguardian.com.
Okay, I'll be sure to spell it properly this time, so the URL goes to the proper location. Ben, thanks very much for coming on the show with us.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. It's been really informative, and it's probably going to be a great listen for when people can get it on MP3 later this week. So yeah. Thanks once again for coming on the show. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, all the boring news.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted by Zephyr.net, free hosting for free thinkers. Be sure to check out our weekly live broadcast on TalkShoe.com. Listen in, chat, or call in at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Mark Savory with a webcomic review.
There are many webcomics out there, perhaps yours is even one of them, that shows demonstrable improvement over time. That's only natural as we learn new skills, find new ways to improve the process of constructing our comics, and hopefully grow as creators. Sometimes we find new tools that help us with our webcomicry, and all of a sudden, doors begin to open up to us creatively in ways that otherwise we never could have found. It could be you found a new kind of marker or a new brand of ink brush that just makes everything seem so much better to look at. It could be you've moved into a better house with a nicer studio space, or perhaps you finally saved up enough money to get a real artist's desk or maybe even a Wacom tablet. But out of all the things we webcomickers could get our mitts on, nothing seems to say open sesame to those closed doors before us than Photoshop, Adobe's penultimate design and illustration software. Likewise, you could substitute Photoshop with its freeware cousin GIMP or any one of a number of other programs. There are such a myriad of magic tools contained in these programs, so much so you'd think you were studying at Hogwarts and found some secret magic room full of wizardly goodness. You're a kid in a candy store who just won the golden ticket. You're Indiana Jones and you've just found the Lost Ark and other assorted treasures. You found your way into the Laker girls' locker room and, well, you get the idea. There is such a wealth of effects and brushes and plugins and whatnot in Photoshop alone that it makes you wonder why Adobe even bothers coming out with new versions of the thing. it's only natural that we want to rush out and try everything. We want to do all the cool effects we've seen others doing. We want to try that new brush, that new fill pattern, that new thing, whatever it is, that you've read about in some tutorial or other. It seems like Photoshop, Illustrator, Inkscape, GIMP, whatever, are collectively a magic wand, and with but one flourish and one word of command, all our troubles will fade away. Now that's very, very understandable, and a very understandable human reaction to the overpowering wealth of possibilities offered by these programs. But this is also where you can tell an artist who's very serious about what they're doing and someone who hasn't planned out their project very well at all. The way you can tell, simply enough, is through restraint. While the novice webcomicker will change everything at the drop of a hat, stuff in whatever effect they saw somewhere on the net that week, the more seasoned webcomicker or artist will work those things in more gradually. They'll take the time to experiment to see what works and what doesn't. They won't rush in and alter this, that, and the other with every new post based on what new Photoshop trick they learned that week. So, what's the point of all this? Well, the comic I have for you this week is an excellent example of an artist using restraint with this kind of software while he learns how to use it. I'm talking about a long-form project called Prodigy Gray. That's Gray spelt with an E in the British fashion, by Nathan LeBun. Prodigy Gray is set in the far future. It's the story of Ari, who knows next to nothing about his own early life and works as a scavenger, searching for technology and relics left behind on the now decimated Earth and various outposts. He has a secret past buried in his own memories, and there are hints that something very powerful also resides within him. Coming into contact with a half-remembered medallion awakens not only some of Ari's memories, but also that aforementioned power, which is laying in wait. There's a dash of Matrix in it, but the most interesting thing to me is the overall gray tones the artist has chosen to use throughout the series. And not just in the artwork, but within the characters themselves. His use of gray shading in the artwork has improved over the course of the project, adding to the stark light and shadow of different scenes. But again, LeBun exercises restraint. You can see that he's gradually added some Photoshop magic over time, but only when and where it made sense to do so, based on where he felt he was while learning the tools. Mostly, you see it in shadowing, snowfall, storms, and rain. He's really learned how to add these effects without overpowering what's going on with the characters. There's just the right amount of blur, depth of field. All of this is a background element to the comic, and it looks really good. Towards the end, there is a longish photo montage comic thing he did. It's not part of the story, just something he did for fun between updates. Not bad. Biggest downside here is the relative lack of updates. The comic hasn't been abandoned or anything. The lack of recent updates is more life and other assignments getting in the way. Still, there is a good-sized archive to work through, and you can see the progression of the artist over time. Well worth the effort to check it out. Prodigy Gray can be found at prodigygray.com, prodigygrey.com. Photoshop and GIMP and all the rest of them are tempting to use like a Swiss Army knife, a different effect for every occasion. But with programs like these, remember the old adage about makeup. Use just enough, and makeup enhances a girl's natural beauty. Trowel it on, and you're Tammy Faye Baker. This is a comic that uses Photoshop as an enhancement, not as a trowel, and that's how it should be. I'm Mark Savory, and until we meet again, take care.
For more from Mark, visit autumnlake.com. Time for a quick webcomic impression from Peter Tarkalich.
This week's webcomic impression is the Evernight Chronicles. The story centers around creatures called Dauls, that's D-A-U-L-S, which are stitched together creatures brought to life by dreams. The story starts after the Great War, where some Dauls were banished from the kingdom and others became slaves of the ruthless Contessa. It's simple but charming and addictive. The drawing style is interesting, with very organic lines and distinctive character designs. I especially love the thought projection dialogue bubbles. The colors definitely help bring that fairy tale feel to the comic. The Evernight Chronicle starts off strong and gets stronger as it goes. I can see this comic joining the ranks of the other big fantasy names in webcomics. If you like fairy tales, this comic is for you. Catch you next time for another webcomic impression.
For more from Peter, visit bardsworth.com.
This is Byron at stripfight.org, bringing you the weekly ringside update. Last week's round 156, the placebo effect was just what the ring doctor ordered. Jay was on the hunt. Max followed with a couple of big ones to the head. Nico struck with divine retribution, while Zach went for the pin. Oywin lowered the boom. Aaron hit us with a dizzying punch. And Vince ended the round with a head fake. In all, we had seven contenders. With the highest average score of 3.28, Oywin of webcomicsnation.com is the winner. This week's round 157, Supervillain, is going on now. Go and vote for your favorite strip. The next round 158, The Holy Grail, still has a few days left before the deadline on May 17th. Get those entries in. Stripfight.org. May the best comic win.
Then I guess they mess out. All right, we're back for the last third of the show. We talked about inking in superhero comics today. Not really a solid one or this or the other theme this week, so we'll probably end up revisiting one or both of these in another show later on. Hey, we don't know what the hell we're doing, so whatever. I wanted to mention, if you head over to sugarycereals.com and scroll down a little bit, you'll see the Saturday Supercast number 15. Diana Nock, who used to do our webcomic reviews for a while here on the Webcomic Beacon, was on the show with Jersey. And so go ahead and go there and listen to that. They talk a lot about the creation process of how Diana makes her things. And I think when I was listening to it this morning, I think Diana says that she also does inking with the brush. And she uses like India ink and Inkstone, I think she uses as well. So it's somewhat related, I guess, by proxy and in context. And so go ahead and give that a listen at sugarycereals.com. And speaking of which, we mentioned that Diana was having her own... it's going to be two parts in one issue and then the conclusion in another issue. And I think we forgot to mention it when it went up. I haven't been paying attention to the Sugar Cereal site because I accidentally lost it out of my normal bookmark, so I have to go through this, whatever. But her contribution, Imaginary Friends Forever... has been up, and you can find that at imaginaryfriends.sugarycereals.com. You can also buy the Sugary Cereals in print, which Jersey had sent me a couple of copies, and they're really nice copies, and they're only about $3.50 each. Sugary Cereals number 7 is currently up, and I think the conclusion comes in issue 8 for Imaginary Friends Forever. So I gotta buy a few of these. These are just really cool. Other than that, I guess we briefly mentioned some superhero comics already. The one that just kept popping back in my mind was Super Fogies. Even though it's kind of like not really like a superhero comic in the way that we were talking, but you know it's like. It's taking the old superheroes from like the golden age to which we were kind of talking about, so and brings it into a more comedic form, whatever. It's still good to check out this superfogies.com, I believe. Otherwise it's some really crazy email thing with a 3 in it. Yep, superfogies.com. Any other superhero comics or somewhat cool superhero comics you guys want to plug real quick?
The two that I know of besides Super Heroes, which is long since deceased, was Dacian, which is daciancomic.com, which hasn't updated in quite a while, and McNutt, www.webcomicsnation.com/McNutt, and it's actually called Vanguard, but I remember it called McNutt. And those are the only two I know.
Wait, Dacian? Oh, that's the one. Oh, that's pronounced. I kept calling it Dyson.
Like the
and actually, it looks like Vanguard hasn't updated in a while either.
See, that's what happens, I guess. Superhero comics, web comics, I maybe struggle more. Who knows? Maybe we could get like a bunch of... Well, they don't update anymore, so maybe they're not around. Well, maybe we could do another show with superhero web comics, and then we can like interrogate them as to why they're not updating.
Because
we should,
I think,
superhero style, we should tie them up and hold them over a tank of sharks, and then ask
with
freaking laser beams attached to their heads,
and then someone can jump over it on a motorcycle, right?
Exactly.
I think the only thing is I think superhero comics are so unbelievably and have been saturated to death for the last, what, 60 years now?
Yeah.
Or however long. For anyone, I think web comics are more for the rest of us that got laughed at for trying to draw superhero comics when we were kids. I know when I was a kid, I loved The Punisher. And yeah. I used to just get ridiculed because there was a kid in my class, never forget his name, that could draw them. It was like the fifth grade or something. He could draw like insane in the fifth grade, like people still wish they could draw now. And I would draw it. Like, I loved superheroes, got ridiculed. I stopped. So I started drawing little cartoons instead. Things that are simpler. And I think that's just what a lot of web comics have devolved. And not devolved in a bad way. Not a bad way, but Tanya, try to draw a superhero comic. You know what I mean? Vess, try to draw a superhero comic. Watch what happens. Earthworm Jim. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would do something funny. I can't draw serious, I guess. Ryan from the chat mentions drunkduck.com/amazing_superteam as a superhero webcomic. It's a sort of vector stick figure type of deal thing.
Okay.
It's crazy looking.
Thing is like what even, I mean, and we should have done this at the beginning, but what is a superhero comic? Do they have to be flying around in tights? Because my character, he's a paladin, but
it's not really a superhero. It's a superhero. Okay, as far as I understand what superhero means, it means, well, obviously you're not a villain, so you're on the good side, and
yeah,
that you have beyond normal human being abilities. Not all of them fly, I think, but they usually have some sort of not usually like a supernatural power. Something.
Unless you're Iron Man or Batman or Robin or.
But that's
Batman
super. That's
or...
super science, though.
Oh, okay.
So there's,
no, no,
there's
no,
super
no,
science
no, no, no.
as well.
Punisher.
So super smart counts
Punisher.
As a.
Punisher's not a superhero, though.
What?
I don't count the Punisher as a superhero at all.
What?
He saves people.
But he's not. He's a renegade. He's a vigilante. What do I say? Go ahead. Go ahead.
In a lot of Marvel's comics, I can't speak as much for DC, but in a lot of Marvel's comics, the majority of people's superhero powers are from some kind of advanced training. Elektra, ninja, martial artist, Psylocke, Sandman, was army training, Wolverine, special forces training. They're all some kind of special forces or army training with, like, very, very little powers. But Hulk, on the other hand, boom, big green guy, you know?
Well, yeah.
No martial arts training at all. He can just... And same thing with, like, the Blob. No martial arts training.
Yeah.
Iron Man, no martial arts training, but he has...
He gets it later. He did.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, actually, in the 90s, he started martial arts training, yeah.
Oh, I think I remember that now. But, a lot of those guys, not superheroes first, you know, martial arts training of some sort first.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then later, you know, they may or may not.
If they don't get that extra power, they're not superheroes. They're just, you know, regular heroes or people that save people. Char in the chat room says that the Punisher is an anti-hero, which I agree. He does not have any special extra superhuman abilities. I do not consider the Punisher a superhero at all.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. And as long as you're going to include intelligence as a superpower...
super intellect, super science, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, otherworldly, but...
super rich? I mean, he didn't really make all that.
He is super rich, but...
Iron Man's also super rich.
But he's also got an intellect, doesn't he? Batman.
Well, Iron Man was a child prodigy, but we can give him the super genius. But Batman,
really isn't a superhero, I guess.
He just had people make his shit. And
he makes all
the only
his own
reason
things.
He's a hero at all is because he's psychologically damaged.
Yeah.
He is kind of an anti-hero almost, I guess. maybe not as bad as the Punisher, even though the crossover comic I read, it was kind of effed up, but
kinda.
It was like, okay, I have no idea. I got a PDF of it, I'll admit, and I read it. It's like, what the heck is Batman wearing? What year is this? What world is this? He's like a super like decked out like armor and crap, and it's like, what the hell?
You kind of have to read more than just the one. Yeah,
it was like, what? Whatever. They're like both on the other side of the law, but they have different morals and standings and whatever. I guess, yeah, technically Batman isn't really a superhero. I mean, he's kind of like they kind of have him around so because you don't want to be on his bad side. That's why he's in the Justice League, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and then you have, you know, Batgirl. She doesn't have any hero. I mean, she doesn't have any super anything. It's not even her stuff. Batman gave her all that stuff.
Super boobs.
She has super boobs. Doo-doo-doo. Her power is keeping the suit on.
Jeez. Anyway, I think we got some milestone stones this week. Aaron, take it away.
Hi, everybody. Our milestones today are brought to you by... I don't know.
We don't have a sponsor. If you'd like to sponsor the Webcomic Beacon, send an email to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com and we'll work out some details.
Okay, webcomic milestones. And as a reminder, everyone in webcomic list title to be what it is so I can find it, but it looks like Introspective Void hit 100 strips, and that's all I see that's new. So everybody remember, please update your article title in webcomic list, or email us, which is what you should be doing anyway. Like, I don't have time to go look for your article titles all the time.
Yeah,
I have to moderate you guys, but you want me to try to find your little updates to your milestones
to increase the chances of you getting mentioned on this show. Send an email to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
But I
do have to. We're not going to do just up and random plugs. If I can, I'll try to work them into the show when they come up. If you got a milestone, let us know. Hey, no problem. If you're looking for a webcomic review, you got to bother Mark about that. But it's entirely up to him what he chooses to do. And same thing with our impressionator. If you have a comic that's about underneath 100, maybe best between 20 and 80. I can submit it to our impressionator to do an impression, but you know, it's up to him and his pace whether or not he can. So just had to throw that quickly right in there. And also, I don't think you hit all the milestones. Didn't I send you a link?
I don't read those. I thought that was your job.
I told you you were in charge of doing that.
You never actually said my name. And so I thought you were just talking to the wind.
Didn't I say, Aaron, take it away?
Yes, you did.
You did, but not when you actually emailed me that Hitman...
Oh, for God's sake, read the milestone.
I told you to read them. Okay. Aaron. No, you're fired. Tanya, what is the other milestone?
All right, it looks like Hitman for Destiny has reached 100 strips, and it can be found at webcomicsnation.com/Thursby/Destiny/Series.php. We will have a link in the show notes, I hope.
Well, all right.
read the webcomic list ones. I thought someone else was going to read.
No, I wanted you to read all the milestones. Anyway, some of the people in chat are asking about our sponsor show. Yeah, I guess we're looking for this episode brought to you by, and then you pay like I don't know like $10-$20 and or whatever we put a little put a plug in our during a break and say the show is sponsored by whatever and put like an image in the next to the download or something like that. I don't know. We were still working out the details. Something we're kicking around to see if there's any interest. But basically, goes right to advertising, I guess, or domain names, or me.
You have to give us like a little thing that you want us to say to.
About what? What do you mean?
Like, I'll do an example since Char won't stop talking about that stuff. You know. Today's episode is brought to you by Char of unamusedcomics.com, reminding you to not have a very crappy website until Aaron helps you get it slightly better than get rid of the stupid ad-free stats buttons. Thank you, Char.
Well, it wouldn't be just that. That'd be like at the top of the show or something like that, and then like a plug, you know, give us something to say, or you say something, and we'll stick it during the break.
That's what we should do
project placement. Product placement. Halfway through the show, we'll be like...
I'm drinking my Coca-Cola Classic right now. It sure is good.
No. It'll be like, you know, wow, you know what? This soda's great. It's almost like a Hitman for Destiny. We'll drop it every once in a while in nonsensical fashion like that.
Do a barrel roll!
All right, I think... Oh crap! That cat is fried to a crisp. We gotta go. I was hoping for pizza later, but
you'll never get that smell out.
I guess not. Anyway, that's all for this episode of the Webcomic Beacon, episode 24, Inking and Superhero Comics. Our guest today was Ben Carver of PointGuardian.com. Some real quick, some future episodes that we have coming up. That's redundant. Upcoming episodes for next week. We are going to be doing on Sunday 18th at about 2:15 p.m. -6 GMT. That's central in the U.S. Our first community showcase, the Webcomic List Forums. We're going to have, hopefully, a bunch of people from the Webcomic List Forums on the show, and we're just going to be talking about the Webcomic List Forums and the people that are on there. You'll probably end up hearing a bunch of webcomics being plugged, and a little bit about the beginning of the Webcomic Beacon, as that is essentially where the birthplace was. We hope to do these at least once a month. We might do some smaller sites to make it about twice a month, a little bit or not. We're working things out. Be sure to come back next Sunday for episode 25, Community Showcase, the Webcomic List Forums. That's all for this week. This has been Fess of Fessworks.com.
This is Tanya.
Plug your site.
And plug your site, Tanya.
.com. There we go.
Okay. And I'm Aaron, TVolcomic.com. Thank
awesome.
You.
Thanks for stopping by. See you next week.
Thank you. See you next week.
That's all for The Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.
I have psychological development too. I don't need. It's like going to a bar when you have alcoholics at your house. It's like, why do you need to go to a bar?
Maybe you want to go to see different alcoholics than the ones you have at your house.